give you air, so I be sublime. It's enjoyable to know you and the concubines. Take off your coats, ladies act like gems. Sit down, Indian styles, you recite these now. See, lyrically, I'm Mario Andretti on the Momo. Ludicrously speedy or infectious with the slow-mo. Heard me in the 80s, JB's on the promo. Am I never in the quest to get the paper on the caper? But now, let me take it to the queen side. I'm taking it to Brooklyn side. All the residential questions who invade the air. Hold up a second, son, cause we almost there. You could be a black man and lose all your soul. You could be white and blue, but don't prep the road. See, my truth is universal. If you got knowledge of all or dealt myself, see, there's no...
What up, everybody? It is 10 a.m. in the District of Columbia. Points north, south, east, and west. I am in studio, believe it or not. Final day of training camp today. But B is in California to meet his granddaughter, which is so cool. I just didn't want to be solo in a tent in case anything went sideways. So I'm here. And maybe I just missed Landfill. Good morning, Landini. And Jeff on vacation. Good for Jeff, of course. Heavy Metal Chris in the building. What up, Christopher? Obviously, the big news yesterday was the trade of Jahan Dotson. I think everybody's still kind of reacting to that decision. You know, with a little bit of breathing room on this thing, a second round pick for Jahan, this was a trade in the division. And I don't think that's the end of the world, but it is a trade in the division. A lot of people think that's the end of the world. If you're the person that is saying Philly traded him because they wanted our playbook, please go take a cold shower. Like, just go do something because you're wrong and you're probably kind of dumb. Frankly, this is not about a playbook, okay? It was a draft pick swap. I don't believe they play until week 11. Like, this is not about a playbook. So let's just chill with that theory. Maybe, what do you call that when you put your head in the toilet and flush it? Swirly? Anybody that thinks this is playbook related, give yourself a swirly. What this was, and what is wildly clear to me at this point, the fact that they had to trade away, if this was Jahan for a third, okay. If it was Jahan for a third with the seventh round pick swaps, okay. That's them trying to make sense of their draft board. But the fact that it's Jahan and a fifth going out to get the third and the two sevenths back, I mean, that tells you, to me, everything you need to know. And I like Jahan. He is a nice young man. He's always been very thoughtful and professional with me. But there was a quote yesterday. We're going to play. Cliff Kingsbury and Joe Witt Jr. spoke yesterday at length about their offense and defense, respectively, and kind of what they're trying to build. And Cliff... it was kind of an unfortunate spot for Cliff because the right people to address this trade are Adam Peters and Dan Quinn, right? And I doubt we get Peters, but Quinn will talk today. We'll take that live here on the Fan. And those guys could give you a more official answer. And Kingsbury, to his credit, just said he really liked Jahan. He's a good kid, wishes him well in Philly. That's kind of what everybody yesterday said. But late, and then he just kind of deferred to Quinn, everything else, which is what a coordinator should do, frankly. But what was really interesting was later in the press conference, and I don't remember who asked this, so credit to the person that asked this. Kingsbury was asked, what are the most important traits for a wide receiver, for the wide receiver room in Washington now? And Kingsbury said, it's DQ's style of play. They want to be physical and play hard without the ball. I think that's what we preach is like everybody's going to run routes and make catches at this level, but how do you play without the ball? I think this is a non-answer answer, man. I think they're telling you exactly kind of what perhaps the issues were with Dotson. And you combine that with... I don't know that you can trust him in the regular season. I'm not expecting because I've seen De'Ami Brown have awesome training camps. Like, I have watched this movie. I've seen it. I don't know that it will transfer to the regular season. Anybody that tells you they know is full of it. Nobody knows. But he's been great, and more than that, he has completely bought into everything the new organization wants. And I'm not sure that Jahan did that. I don't know if we're streaming today. I don't know where Jeff is. But I know that people were yelling at me, like somehow I'm the freaking problem with this. In the Jets game, the Jets preseason game, preseason week one, okay? Jahan Dotson caught a pass, and he kind of bobbled it in the red zone from Jeff Driskel with less than 5 minutes remaining in the second quarter of that game. And that stood out to me a lot, that Dotson, a first rounder from two seasons ago that scored 7 touchdowns as a rookie, was playing at that point. And he was catching passes from a third quarterback then, because Mariota played in that game and was still healthy at that point. It really stood out. It said a lot about how the organization was looking at everything. And then obviously a lot changed from there. You can like a guy, appreciate a guy, and not think he's a fit for your building. When you date people in your 20s and you can like each other and enjoy the time together, but realize you're not getting married and just kind of move forward. I don't know what will happen for Jahan in Philly, but I think he went to a hell of a situation where there's not going to be a ton of expectations on him. And I mean, dude, Brown, Smith, Saquon, Goddard, Hurts, they got weapons all over the place. Like, they're not going to be overly reliant on Jahan. I mean, they're asking for him to kind of be a support role. It's a great situation for Jahan. I also think a lot of people are kind of missing the boat on Lanville. We got to talk about the Brandon Ayuk stuff, right? Because Bemich even said yesterday, like, I don't think they're done. And they might not be done. It's entirely possible they are not done, okay? And maybe it's CeeDee Lamb, Larry Fitzgerald coming out of retirement, Jerry Rice coming out of retirement. I don't know. It's entirely possible they're not done. And I suppose in a way that opens the door for Brandon Ayuk. Which, do people even still want him after just the nonstop continued annoyance of all this thing? But that's a different conversation. Where I continue to think he's just going to end up in San Francisco. But to be convinced that they are not done, to me, ignores the fact that they keep trying to tell you, yo, this is going to be a long-term rebuild. We are going... What Dan Quinn likes to say, recalibration, that's cool. Peters has made no mistake about this. Yo, like, Peters and Dan Quinn, they're not renting homes. They bought houses. This is a long-term thing. And the insinuation that, okay, they traded Jahan, they know that their wide receiver room is suspect, they've got to do something, it was suspect with Jahan. There were a ton of questions about what they had at wideout with Jahan, let alone now without him. But when they had Jahan, everybody was convinced that, oh, they don't need to make a move, or they might not make a move. And now without Jahan, it's like, oh, you've got to. I think that's crazy. Jahan last year had 49 catches for 518 yards and a top 10 drop rate in the NFL. Like, everybody's convinced now that that is removed from your offense, oh, now they got to make a move? I don't get that. With him here, the group, I know somebody ranked him, what, top 20 Lanville? I think that's largely on the strength of who Terry McLaurin is, frankly. You've got Terry, who has produced in the unlikeliest of circumstances, considering the quarterbacks that have been here. And I just think fans don't want to hear this, especially as we get close to the regular season, close to the opener. And what we've seen from Jaden Daniels has been pretty damn exciting, acknowledging that it's preseason and they haven't shown a whole lot, and he's probably not going up against, you know, a whole lot of stud top flight defensive players. Like, a lot of guys have been sitting. But Daniels looks awesome. So all of a sudden, I think the fan base wants to, hey man, let's win now. Let's win now. It's like there hasn't really been a taste of it, but watching the young quarterback, you get so excited, and it's like they got the itch. Like there's a drug and they want more of it, right? Peters is not here for the sugar high. Like, he's here to build a long-term, sustainable playoff winner. Go look at San Fran, dude. I think they won 10 games the first 2 years. Peters and Lynch and Kyle were out there. Like, it was not good. And then they traded for Garoppolo, and things kind of improved. I mean, the first 2 years in San Francisco, they went 6-10 and 4-12. Year three, they went to the Super Bowl. Like, that's what they're trying to build. And I think getting the extra third isn't a lot. It's not. It's great to get a top 100 pick, but to have to give up a first rounder, to have to give up a first rounder for a third, okay. To have to give up a first rounder and send a fifth is just crazy. And I think there's a message here that there's some wishful thinking. Like, okay, well, they're going to now make a subsequent move. I'm not so sure they are. I think they understand the situation they're in. Their defense, Washington's defense last year, ranked absolute dead last. Pick up any sort of real statistic you want to look at, man. They were bad. They were very, very bad. And maybe they'll be better. Maybe they're better coaching. You add Bobby Wagner, that sure can't hurt. Jeremy Chin, good piece in the secondary, perhaps. But, like, is anybody expecting a significant jump defensively? Because I'm not. You were dead last. Maybe you get to 24th. You could move up an entire tier, right? Like, if you break the NFL into thirds, they could get into the bottom of the second tier, and it would be massive improvement. And they'd still be 23rd in the NFL defensively. Like, this is going to be a lean season, and I think the implication that, like, the implication that, oh, well, now they're going to go make a move. They weren't making a move when they had Dotson. Like, if you're making moves is to try to win, right? When they had Dotson, they weren't making a move. So I just think that is a overly ambitious, not entirely realistic version of events. I also think it's fair to be skeptical of this wide receiver room. Zacchaeus and Brown last year combined for 22 catches, right? Like, 22 catches combined. I feel like CeeDee Lamb had games last year where he caught 15 on his own. There are reasons for skepticism. I do think Luke McCaffrey is a factor in all this, and how he is kind of emerging over time. This preseason training camp, big, long guy. But I think McCaffrey and Sinnott end up being much bigger pieces kind of as the season rolls on. I don't know that they start that way. There are real reasons for questions with this wide receiver room. I have watched Diami Brown have great preseasons, great training camps, and then it doesn't translate. But to me, if Jaden is the guy, and in Cliff's offense, what I have watched day after day, they're going to spread it around. I think Jaden spreads it around. I think the offense is designed to spread it around. I think Zach Ertz could be a huge factor in this. I think Austin Eckler could be a huge factor in this. Like, just because there's only, I guess now there's not a single first round draft pick in the receiver room, right? And losing Dotson, who can play, it doesn't help you. But Dotson had 500 yards last season. People are acting like DK Metcalf just got traded or something. You know what I mean? Like, and it's, I just think this is a real reminder to view this in a very long prism, because that is how Adam Peters is viewing it. And that doesn't help you, the folks that are geeked up to put their jersey on week one when they go down to Tampa. Like, losing Dotson for next year's third doesn't help you. But what I applaud from this regime is, one, they didn't just hold on to a guy that didn't fit for them because he was a first rounder. Like, you're much better off cutting bait, right? Now it's a lot easier in a league of self-preservation to cut bait with somebody else's first rounder. If we get 2 years from now and we still haven't seen anything from Johnny Newton or something, I think these guys will handle it differently because that was their guy. But I appreciate the decisiveness and just the plan of action. But I think we got to be reminded of how Peters talked about this when he got the job, right? And he don't care that much about what Brandon Ayuk does on social media. I do think we got to chill. I don't think these guys are expecting to win significantly this year. And that's why they don't care if they trade to Philly or if they don't add more receivers. We got a packed show today. All right. We're going to talk some of this Jahan stuff. You're going to hear from Kingsbury. You're going to hear from Joe Witt. I got Hoffman joining us because I thought he made a really interesting point about timelines yesterday when I was listening to his show. And don't let me forget this, Lightfield. I actually want to talk to him about this NWSL stuff, which I find kind of fascinating. Steve Palazzolo, of course, Pro Football Focus founder, I want to say. I mean, that dude was PFF to me for a long time. Left PFF, starting his own thing. We're going to talk with him. We're going to let you ask me some questions. We might open the phones on this John thing. Ben Volen joins us at 1:30. Nobody go anywhere. Just getting warmed up on a Scotty Talker Rebel Friday. All right, people are mad at me. I said the quiet part out loud, I guess. Everybody forgot that, I don't know, the dude from The Athletic we just had on earlier in the program has them with the lowest win projection in the NFL. Vegas has them at 6.5. Everybody's mad at me. Of course they're going to add somebody. Are they? If they were going to add somebody, was Jahan Dotson really the difference maker in not making a move? You think the third they got is the difference for Ayuk? A third? You think a third's the difference to go get CeeDee Lamb?
For Monday!
Got the drop on back to school and low prices. Trust me, we're all fighting inflation, but Foreman Mills will save you. I threw two kids' uniform polos in my cart for $13 and two pants for $20, a $6.99 backpack and shoes, some 99-cent school supplies. Texted JOIN to 50886 and boom, more savings in my cart. Got it all under 50.
Foreman Mills!
They got undervalued for him, and maybe I'm a little biased because I'm a Penn State graduate, but I don't get it.
Let me ask you something.
I really don't get it.
When a house gets listed, right, somebody's selling their house for $1 million, is the value the listing price or the sale price? If it sells for $900K or it sells for $1.3, is the value the listing price or the sale price?
It's the sale price because you get the most value you want. We're
right.
Just about to do that.
So
it's a bidding war. You get in a bidding war.
Okay, great. So if they were able to move him and it cost them to include a fifth and they got a third and 2/7 back, isn't that the value as determined by the market?
Yeah, but I don't think they're evaluating him correctly. If you look at his games against Maryland, you know, when he did at Penn State and bubble screens and just
Bro,
let him out.
The difference between Maryland and Tampa Bay, I love my Terps. You clearly love your Nittany Lions. There's a big difference in college football and the NFL. I like John as a player. I'm not trying to completely. I think there's. It's entirely possible Jahan outperforms what Washington got back in this trade. I think that's entirely possible. But I think based on last year and what they saw this year, they weren't expecting it, and I think that's why they made this move. And I think if you look around the league, the fact that Philly was able to get a first-rounder with up to 3 years of team control on a cheap, relatively cheap contract, I mean,
yeah.
The market tells you something, man.
Yeah, one last thing. Okay. I went to the Groundhog event, and didn't they promise those in attendance to get a free ticket to a preseason game? And I never got an email. I didn't get anything. Maybe he was just talking out of class.
Was that the 106.7 event in Bethesda?
Yeah.
You know what? You're right. They did say that. I don't know the right procedure to tell you to get that, but if you want to get on hold, maybe Chris can write down your email or something and at least like check in with Drab. I don't know the answer, but you're right. They did say that, and these dudes don't BS, so I'm sure they mean it. I just don't know, frankly, that anybody has called in to ask about that.
And last thing, you got to pay Jonathan Allen, man.
You got a lot of last things, bro.
Bye.
You got to pay Jonathan Allen. I wasn't expecting that call.
Well, you got to keep him. You got to keep him. You got to do everything to keep that guy. He's a heart and soul. And
bro, he's under contract through the 25 season.
I know, but you know how things were last year. I just thought, and when he came and spoke on February 2nd, he's just amazing. He's my favorite current Washington football player.
All right, hey man, I appreciate you. Take care, Kevin. Lots to unpack there. Clearly that dude loves Penn State. I know that. There are people on both sides of this thing, though. I haven't even given out the phone number. People are just calling. I got a dude on Twitter that says I'm an idiot. Shout out to Richmond John, getting this on my radar. Tyler Turner. Landini, I know you're busy with something, but are you available here? Tyler Turner 12. Quote tweeted, all right, I'm going to give this guy credit. Pack of Boys dad, David O'Connell, said, Commanders fans, one thing that is getting me about this trade, no one is talking about. Jahan knows our entire playbook. He can easily give the Eagles a ton of intel on what we are doing. Am I the only one that this bothers or worries? And Tyler Turner tweeted this at me and wrote, hashtag idiot, with a crying face emoji. And my guy Richmond John brought it to my attention. They play the Eagles first time this season is week 11, November 14th. Kyle Shanahan's not even sure if we'll be on the planet next week. And you're convinced that they're going to know that they traded for Jahan to get the Washington playbook when they don't play him for close to 3 months from right now. You know what they'll have? 10 weeks of game tape. You know what NFL coaches can do? Watch it. Figure out your playbook. This is not about a playbook. I get that people don't like trades within the division. I understand that. But let's be one step better than thinking this is about the playbook, because it's not. It's not. It's not. Ben Sinat. Big B is in D.C. What up, B?
What's going on? You know, it kills me. Everybody's talking about what position Dotson was drafted, how good of a skill set he has. None of that means anything if this guy is walking around pouting, not wanting to participate, down because other receivers are brought in, down because rookies are outperforming him in practice. It doesn't make a matter of how good he is if he's not performing for you. That's like having a hot wife that won't sleep with you. What's the point of having her on your arm? She means nothing to you. Get something for her. Move on. You know, Doc Walker, years ago, made a statement that stuck with me forever. And he said, you're going to know when your team is doing better when they make painful decisions. And this is a painful decision, but it's smart. We got something for him before this guy walks. So, y'all relax, man. These people know what they're doing.
Thank you for the call, B. Appreciate you, buddy. Have a great weekend. Our guy, Cody. And Cody's my real life friend. I love Cody. Says, was the need to move Jahan at this very moment, do you think they got the best possible value? I can't stress this enough. If the fact that they had to include a fifth rounder and ship him within the division, shipping within the division is not ideal, right? Like, they understand it's not the dream scenario. And they did it. And they had to include a fifth. They had to include their own fifth and a first-round pick that just two seasons ago caught 7 touchdowns on 35 catches. That tells you the answer. They wanted him gone. And the fact that they were willing to do it in the division tells you they're not too worried about him kicking their ass. And it certainly tells you they're not worried about the playbook. Where's my guy? Somebody, I'm getting all sorts of threats here. James I on Twitter says, stop sugarcoating it. The boy wonder got fleeced again. I think that's an Adam Peters jab. I don't know when he got fleeced the first time to get fleeced again. I don't know that he got fleeced here. Maybe they were in a scenario where they wanted the guy gone and they maybe didn't get top rate, okay? Maybe. If you're going to say fleeced, I think of far different scenarios. How about the trade to go from 11 to 16 and you end up with all these other players that now you basically went from 11 to 16 to get Brian Robinson. We'll see if Cole Turner makes a roster. I kind of think he should because I think you really got to try to manage Ertz's reps, keep him healthy for 17 games, but I don't know. I don't know. I legit don't think I've given out the phone number once, but people are sure as hell calling. Edward's calling from Connecticut. What up, Eddie?
Hey, what's going on? You know, I'm calling for this reason. People need to calm the explicit down. We were so in on bringing Adam Peters in. It was hashtag and Adam Peters we trust. Hashtag Adam Peters has landed in D.C. Now it's hashtag. It's gone from hashtag and Adam Peters we trust to hashtag Adam Peters, what are you doing? You're not going to fix this cancerous team that I hate to say the name, that Dan Snyder and at one point Bruce Allen and Ron Rivera was running in one season. So many people thought because we got Jaden Daniels, and there's a small percentage that can happen, very small, that we're supposed to automatically go out here and sign 2 legit receivers in free agency, fix the offensive line in one offseason, go into the draft, make this trade, go get this player. We're supposed to do all these things as we go to sleep for one night and wake up the next day, when that's not how a rebuild works. We're supposed to be patient. I know. We've been patient for, what, 24, 25 years. But you're going to have to be patient for 2 or 3 more years because this is not going to be fixed overnight. Now, I want to point to Jahan. I'm okay with the trade because it was clear as day, like you said, JB, they did not want Jahan here. They did not want Jahan part of this process. They gave him an opportunity, and it did not work.
Bro, to your point, it started to seem like Jahan didn't want to be here either. You know?
And you know what?
Jahan.
You're right.
He's a good... I like the person. I'm trying to be clear about that. I still think he could play. I think last year... And thank you for the call, Ed. I think last year, in Turner's offense, Scott Turner schemed up ways to get Jahan Dotson off the line of scrimmage. Send him in motion, have a bunch formation to one side, whether it's trips or just a stack. In Bieniemy's offense, one, there was no play action because they never ran the ball. And two, there was no scheme to get Jahan off the line of scrimmage. When you get Jahan into space, he's really freaking good. as defenses learn more about jamming him, putting him in press, making it hard for him to get to space, he struggled. And then last year you had these drops, which really seemed weird to me because he had elite hands coming out of college. Add all that up, it looks different, man. Things change. Not always good. I'm not saying they did well on the trade. It does appear, though, that's all they could do. I'm going to read specifically what Florio wrote to try to calm some folks down about what they determined to be a report. The big difference between a report and a theory. Good God, it's only 10:42 and I'm yelling.
I feel so close to you right now. It's a force field. I wear my heart up on my sleeve like a big deal. Your love pours down on me, surround me like a waterfall. And there's no
Philly 106.7 The Fan. So Heavy Metal Chris just told me some news that the podcast is messed up today, so I gotta come in from break faster and not enjoy the music so much. Chris, I have one piece of advice for you. Tell DJ Landini to stop playing the bangers. All right? It is a Scotty's Vodka Red Bull Friday. Landfill's Vibes Friday playlist is elite. So, you know.
It's fantastic music. Pure vibes.
It's the best music. It's fantastic music. Got to wish a bunch of people. That was my Trump impression, by the way, which is god-awful, I've been told. Got to wish some people a happy birthday. Sonny Jurgensen's birthday, 90 years old. What a legend that dude is. Danny Ruye, I believe, 27 years old, also a legend. Happy birthday to both those fellas. People are mad at me. All I'm telling you is this roster is not built to seriously contend this year. Maybe if Jaden is lightning in a bottle right away and you get a C.J. Stroud-like season, all anybody remembers is that Houston got to the divisional round of the playoffs last year. Nobody remembers that they were 8-8 going into Week 18. And if Gardner Minshew doesn't throw a swing pass into the end zone short, that Houston misses the playoffs entirely. Like, people just remember what they want, and they're like, well, Houston did it last year. It might happen. I'm not ruling it out. But they had the absolute dead last defense in the NFL last year. And I'm arguing with some dude that thinks now they're going to be top 10. They could improve significantly. They could double their defensive numbers. They could double them. And they'd be exactly ranked half in the league. So I think we got to like try to remember what Peter, you know, during the pre-draft cycle, one thing I like to do is try to freeze your brain how you remember the end of college football, particularly with like elite top 10 draftable type players. Try to freeze your brain to what you remember at the end of the college football season. Because what happens between whatever that is, January 5th, let's call it, and late April is all the other stuff. The combine, the rumors, the reports, all that stuff. None of that matters because eventually they're going to draft based on what they saw on the football field. So if we can, for all the excitement, all the new optimism, let's remember last year they were 4-13 with the worst defense in the NFL. Let's just try to remember that. And that's why, I don't know, Jaden calling from Ohio. I don't know if this is which Jaden it is. What up, Jaden?
Hey, guys. How's it going?
Good, dude. How are you?
Doing good. Doing good. So, yeah, I mean, the trade, I think, is confusing and different. If you have a rookie quarterback, you're taking one of his weapons away from, we can all agree, a bottom 10 receiving core. So now we're one injury away from Dyami Brown being our number one and Luke McCaffrey being our number two. I get the body language stuff maybe, but if you look at rookies that have had back-to-back 500-yard seasons, everyone loves the Packers receiving core. They don't have a guy that's done it. We have a guy that we have 3 years left on his contract that is tied Garrett Wilson for touchdowns his rookie year, had back-to-back 500-yard seasons with Taylor Heineke and Sam Howell. You give up on him, and what tells you more? you trade him to a division rival. If you're doing business with anybody in any business that's really good at what they do, and they're willing to take what you have, like Howie Roseman, look, and if you watch, I'm not saying every show is right, but every other show you watch that isn't really has any bias, they're like, what, Howie just got Jahan and a third? Or whatever, Jahan and a fifth?
I'm acknowledging that. The fact that they got that is pretty telling, I think, of a number of factors. I don't necessarily disagree with you.
And what is Howie as a GM? Is Howie a top three GM? Do we agree on that? He knows what he's doing?
Probably, yeah. I mean, that okay. roster continues to so be what? Loaded.
Exactly. So if someone, I'm just going to, like, again, I'm a Skins fan through and through, but I live in Ohio. My friends are all Browns and Bengals fans. I'm getting texts like, what are you guys doing? Like, unless we get an Aiyuk,
hold on,
from a number two pick.
Hold on. I'm going to have to put you on hold if you won't stop talking. Can I talk now?
Yeah.
I think you've got to understand that they are viewing this long term and that they did not view Jahan as a long term part of their puzzle and that they got a third rounder for next year. And I understand that that is not fun for this season. And that your friends that are Bengals fans are going to text you like, damn, you just gave away Jahan Dotson. You're not wrong. They clearly, to me, took an L on this trade because they wanted to move on from the player. And that is part of their long-term vision, and we're reacting to it in the immediacy. We're reacting to it right. in the moment when they have a much wider view on this thing. And I get that, looking at this trade, and then they play Tampa in 10 or whatever that would be, 2 weeks, sucks. Like, are they better to go against the Bucks week one after this trade? No. Period. But they're looking at, what are we going to be in 3 years?
But he has 3 years left on his deal.
It's a different prison.
Why give up so early?
Thank you for the call, bro.
Like you're giving up on your future, too.
That's not how they view it. If you think they're wrong, you're entitled to that. But if you think these are the right guys to build for the long haul, then this is how they view it. I'm not necessarily taking a side on that. What's that?
My point is we don't know if they're right. They're just giving up on a first-round pick that's had back-to-back 500-yard seasons and, what, 14 touchdowns?
You don't know if they're wrong either. You don't know if they're wrong, and they're clearly trying to build the team they want, and they don't view him as a part of it. I got to run. Landfill's going to kill me. Everybody on hold, stay there. I do want to play this Kingsbury audio, but clearly there's a lot to discuss with Jahan Dotson. Nobody go anywhere.
I feel so close to you right now. It's a force field. I wear my heart up on my sleeve like a big deal. Your love pours down on me, surround me like a waterfall.
G-Bench 106.7, the fan. Heavy Metal Chris just told me some news that the podcast is messed up today, so I got to come in from break faster and not enjoy the music so much. Chris, I have one piece of advice for you. Tell DJ Landini to stop playing the bangers, all right? It is a Scotty's Vodka Red Bull Friday. Landfill's Vibes Friday playlist is elite. So, you know.
It's fantastic music, pure vibes.
It's the best music. It's fantastic music. Got to wish a bunch of people. That was my Trump impression, by the way, which is god-awful, I've been told. Got to wish some people a happy birthday. Sonny Jurgensen's birthday, 90 years old. What a legend that dude is. Danny Ruye, I believe, 27 years old. Also a legend. Happy birthday to both those fellas. People are mad at me. All I'm telling you is, this roster is not built to seriously contend this year. Maybe if Jaden is lightning in a bottle right away and you get a C.J. Stroud-like season, all anybody remembers is that Houston got to the divisional round of the playoffs last year. Nobody remembers that they were 8-8 going into week 18, and if Gardner Minshew doesn't throw a swing pass into the end zone short, that Houston misses the playoffs entirely. Like, people just remember what they want, and they're like, well, Houston did it last year. It might happen. I'm not ruling it out. But they had the absolute dead last defense in the NFL last year. And I'm arguing with some dude that thinks now they're going to be top 10. They could improve significantly. They could double their defensive numbers. They could double them. And they'd be exactly ranked half in the league. So, I think we got to, like, try to remember what Peter, you know, during the pre-draft cycle, one thing I like to do is try to freeze your brain how you remember the end of college football, particularly with, like, elite top 10 draftable type players. Try to freeze your brain to what you remember at the end of the college football season. Because what happens between whatever that is, January 5th, let's call it, and late April is all the other stuff. The combine, the rumors, the reports, all that stuff. None of that matters. Because eventually, they're going to draft based on what they saw on the football field. So if we can, for all the excitement, all the new optimism, let's remember last year they were 4-13 with the worst defense in the NFL. Let's just try to remember that. And that's why, I don't know, Jaden calling from Ohio. I don't know if this is which Jaden it is. What up, Jaden?
Hey, guys. How's it going?
Good, dude. How are you?
Doing good. So, yeah, I mean, the trade, I think, is confusing and different. If you have a rookie quarterback, you're taking one of his weapons away from, we can all agree, a bottom 10 receiving core. So now we're one injury away from Dyami Brown being our number one and Luke McCaffrey being our number two. I get the body language stuff maybe, but if you look at rookies that have had back-to-back 500-yard seasons, everyone loves the Packers receiving core. They don't have a guy that's done it. We have a guy that we have 3 years left on his contract that is tied Garrett Wilson for touchdowns his rookie year. Had back-to-back 500-yard seasons with Taylor Heineke and Sam Howell. You give up on him, and what tells you more? We traded him to a division rival. If you're doing business with anybody in any business that's really good at what they do, and they're willing to take what you have, like Howie Roseman, look. And if you watch, I'm not saying every show is right, but every other show you watch that isn't really has any bias, they're like, what, Howie just got Jahan and a third? Or whatever, Jahan and a fifth?
I'm acknowledging that. The fact that they got that is pretty telling, I think, of a number of factors. I don't necessarily disagree with you.
And what is Howie as a GM? Is Howie a top three GM? Do we agree on that? He knows what he's doing?
Probably, yeah. I mean, that roster continues to be loaded.
Exactly. So if someone, I'm just going to, like, again, I'm a Skins fan through and through, but I live in Ohio. My friends are all Browns and Bengals fans. I'm getting texts like, what are you guys doing? Like, unless we get an IU,
but hold on,
one injury away
from
a number two pick.
Hold on. I'm going to have to put you on hold if you won't stop talking. Can I talk now?
Yeah.
I think you've got to understand that they are viewing this long-term and that they did not view Jahan as a long-term part of their puzzle and that they got a third-rounder for next year. And I understand that that is not fun for this season. And that your friends that are Bengals fans are going to text you like, damn, you just gave away Jahan Dotson. You're not wrong. They clearly, to me, took an L on this trade because they wanted to move on from the player. And that is part of their long-term vision, and we're reacting to it in the immediacy. We're reacting to it in the moment when they have a much wider view on this thing. And I get that, looking at this trade, and then they play Tampa in 10 or whatever that would be, 2 weeks, sucks. Like, are they better to go against the Bucks week one after this trade? No. Period. But they're looking at, what are we going to be in 3 years?
But he has 3 years left on his deal.
It's a different prison.
Why give up so early?
Thank you for the call, bro.
Like, you're giving up on your future, too.
That's not how they view it. If you think they're wrong, you're entitled to that. But if you think these are the right guys to build for the long haul, then this is how they view it. What's that?
My point is, we don't know if they're right. They're just giving up on a first-round pick that's had back-to-back 500-yard seasons and, what, 14 touchdowns?
You don't know if they're wrong either. You don't know if they're wrong, and they're clearly trying to build the team they want, and they don't view him as a part of it. I got to run. Landfill's going to kill me. Everybody on hold, stay there. I do want to play this Kingsbury audio, but clearly there's a lot to discuss with Jahan Dotson. Nobody go anywhere.